data safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents. Imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank, or all the banks for that matter. Are your banking records safe in your hands? So when they get things fixed and repaired, you can say, hey, look, this is what I had. You have it. I want it back. Is your personal data safe? Family records, addresses, phone numbers? We'll squeeze on over to freedomslips.com. Yes, that's www.freedomslips.com. Click the banner on the homepage for the EMP-proof bullet drive to get the full scoop of everything that we offer. So, folks, keep your data safe for your peace of mind. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Revolution Radio proudly presents, live from the heart of the Blue Ridge, Roanoke, Virginia, it's the Just Bernard Show with host Bernard Alvarez. Join Bernard as he shares topics that reveal the real matrix and empower your human experience, including world liberty, the esoteric, suppressed technologies, spiritual ascension, and human consciousness. Humanity has awakened, and our time has come to realize our full potential. And now, live from the Star City, your host, Bernard Alvarez.
Happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome to the Just Bernard Show here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. My name is Bernard Alvarez, and we've got a great a pair of beautiful people joining us live from across the pond. Here we stream live from Virginia, but our dear friends Gary Evans and Olga Terbanina are going to be joining us in just a few moments. Before we get started, let me, of course, welcome our assistant producer and assistant director of BernardAlvarez.com, Treva Lynn Nod, is joining me live from Winnipeg, Manitoba. Hi, Treva. How are you today?
Hello. I'm doing well, I guess. How about you?
I'm excited. I'm excited to have our guests. I'm glad to be here. I didn't know if we were going to be here this week. So, how's everything going up there with you and Winnipeg and your wonderful new prime minister?
I'm not really sure. I'm not really following news right now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
there's a lot of negativity in the news right now. So I'm just like, I think it all off. So
I hear you. I'm on a media fast myself right now. I've decided to do a media fast until the United States elections are over. I'm picking and choosing what I expose my senses to, which is what we should be doing all the time anyway. But good for you. Thank you, Treva. Just so you know that Treva is live. If you are here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, or if you're listening at BernardAlvarez.com, we have chat rooms now at both locations. And Treva will be keeping an eye on the chat room. If you have any questions for us during the show, she will make sure that we get them and just make sure that she sees them. Anyway, like I said, we almost didn't make it this week. Some of you who have been listening know I had some problems with an appendix back in November, and my appendix burst back in November, and I was kind of missing throughout the holiday season, been in and out of the hospital, et cetera, it's been not fun, but anyway, the good news is I have one last surgery. They were supposed to have it done today, but they changed it to next Tuesday, so I will not be a part of the show next Tuesday, but I have good news. Tracy Lockwood, the medium Tracy Lockwood, will be guest hosting my show next week, and her show is on right after mine. So you guys are going to get 2 hours of Tracy Lockwood next week here at the Just Bernard Show, and of course following with medium Tracy Lockwood. Anyway, enough about that. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm very happy that our two guests are here joining us live. Gary Evans and Olga Terbanina are joining us live. I'm not sure where you are today, you travelers that you are, but welcome to the show, both of you. Thank you for being here.
Good to be back on. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to put it out there immediately. Congratulations to both of you who were just recently wed. And we're so grateful that you are together and working together.
Thank you.
So let's start with a little bit about your past work, Gary. As many people that might know you may know you through Infinite Connections and maybe Megalithomania and those types of classes, tours, and information. And I know that you're changing things up a little bit now, so maybe remind everybody where you've been and where you're going right now.
Yeah, sure. Well, we got chatting from when I was working on various tours to ancient sites around the world. I guess you could say I turned into a bit of an Egypt specialist, which is on hold at the moment, mainly due to the politics, but also helping organize and do the publicity for various conferences dedicated to ancient wisdom and ancient knowledge. And the one on this year, which is CPAC, the Conference on Possession and Ancient Knowledge, which is in Palm Springs, California. So Olga and I will be flying over because I'm also presenting there. And so it's really been trying to dig into history, the various spiritual traditions, religious traditions, and something that came out of my interest in Egypt and ancient India was this message, seemed to be a coherent message coming out. You need to look into the natural world to understand your own nature. So I'd say that's the kind of current line of research, spending time in these natural environments and sort of ancient forests, which is our current passion, and really tuning in as deeply as we can while we're there.
Wow, that sounds great. And I'm so happy that the universe is guiding you in that direction, because I feel we all need to be guided in that direction. And we look forward to any information that you bring up with that. And now, Olga, you have been a healer for a while now. And we did have you on the show with Gary last year talking about healing the heart. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the work that you were doing before, and how you and Gary are working together now, perhaps?
Well, before, I think I was mainly focusing on Reiki healing, the traditional Yasui Reiki method. And I think that was my focus, as well as meditation. But I think nowadays I'm more opening up to other things, mostly things which Gary had a passion in, like sound. And we recently trained as gong players, which means that now we can do events in the community centers. And one of the events that we are opening up with is in the community center in Surrey, in UK. And it will be all about releasing tensions and releasing stress, promoting or helping to promote well-being. And we're really working with educating people on health, on environment, on community, and on global matters, which we think actually matter now the most.
Yes, absolutely. And it all seems to like layer into each other and spill into each other, from inner healing to external and global healing, for sure. And one of the methods that you guys are working with is using sound. And if I remember correctly, Gary, we had talked maybe one or two times ago when you were on the show about how you guys had come across the acoustics of these ancient sites and how you found that to be transformational. Can you tell us a little bit about the theory of using sound, and how does it affect us either spiritually, emotionally, and physically?
Certainly. Well, there's been a lot of progress since we last spoke. So I think previously I was mentioning scientific papers I'd read from like Princeton, UCLA, and Stanford that have been looking at sound and sort of vibrational therapies from different perspectives. Stanford have been down to a site in Peru and seen, and in their opinion, there's no doubt that the site was designed with acoustics in mind. And then the work at UCLA measures various frequencies, which basically mirror these chambers that are in Peru, the same kind of sound range, 90 to 120 hertz. And those kind of sound frequencies, as UCLA say, light up different areas of the brain when they're measuring. So there's numerous research coming out, but the way that the sound works is it can actually penetrate and it goes straight through the body, which is how science has been using it and is a growing area of science. You can do non-invasive surgery like gallstone, breaking up gallstones in the bladder and things.
Oh.
So in terms of stress release, what you can say is that the muscles hold tension. I mean, that's widely recognized. We go for massage to relax. But so these sound frequencies can get into the muscles and basically release some of this tension. But it also seems to be another level to this where there's a kind of thought patterns and a certain vibration of these thoughts. So if you're in this kind of frequency that the gong emits that we're now working with, if we play these certain kinds of frequencies that mirror where you're holding tension on the certain vibrations, it can also release it, because I do feel it. Now that we own our own gong, you can feel the thoughts in your head, and when these certain sound frequencies come in, it's like an interaction, something obviously difficult to measure scientifically, but that's certainly how it feels to me.
Oh, I love it. And the reason why I'm loving it, I'm having a flashback as of being a young teenager and blasting my music and my mother asking me, why do you have to play the music so loud? And my words to her were always, I need to feel it. Uh-huh. I need to feel the music go through me. So maybe I was onto something without realizing it back then.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of us kind of unconsciously are. It's just with the gong, you can be more specific with the frequency because you keep it in a certain range. So that's the main difference.
Right. And so, Olga, how do you like the gong? And tell us a little bit about I guess, what do you want to call it, gong bathing or sound bathing? How does that work?
Yeah, sure. For me, it was a quite unexpected experience, I would say, because usually I would work with energies myself, and I would be the one who actually controls the flow, or at least I would think so. And with sound, of course, it's much harder, because if you are experiencing the sound, different things might come up which you didn't even think of. Because at some point I might go to the gong bath thinking, oh my God, it's such a good place. And then so many things would come up which I was not even aware of, making me actually work better on myself, I think, and on working through these issues. So for me, gong has been a very eye-opening method, because before I was quite nurturing with myself, and now I think it's very revealing. It reveals all the layers of you going really, really deep. But when it finds the spot and you're actually working with it, it's magnificent. It has taken me to such places that it was just, sometimes I would go to Gary and just say, Gary, I can't do anything for the rest of the day. I feel so high. I just don't want to go back. So it has been very nice. Yeah.
Is it fair to say that it creates some type of altered state of consciousness?
I would definitely say so, because I once even looked at my eyes when I was playing the gong, because of course you can see the reflection. I was a bit scared. But I mean, it's a good thing, because I was completely out of my head. I didn't have any thoughts whatsoever. I was not even aware of where I was. And after that, I felt like I was completely refreshed and revitalized, a new person.
How nice. And tell, what about the gong itself? Is it a certain size? How big does it have to be? Have you played with different sizes, different tones? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the one that we've ended up getting is 36 inches. So that's like over three feet across, right?
Yeah.
So a gong that size, you would say, is designed for a sort of audience of 100 people plus. I mean, it depends on the acoustics of the room, but you should be able to handle 100 people laying around it and they still get a worthwhile benefit. So, of course, when we're just sitting right, every time you play it, even if you play it for somebody else, you're giving yourself a treatment, you can say, at the same time. And a very skilled guy in Germany, it came from certainly a master gong manufacturer who's making gongs for some of the best gong players in the world. That was who our teacher put us in touch with. So, yeah, it's a real work of art. And the gongs that are, there's a range of gongs that are tuned to the frequencies of the planets in the solar system. A while ago, somebody worked out the different frequencies of the planets. Our one is called an Earth gong. And it's tuned to the frequency of the Earth going around the Sun in 1 year. And that's 136.10. So it can be, if you play at the bottom of the gong, you get these very deep sound frequencies that you can actually feel hitting the body. And then at the top of the gong, you get a higher pitched sound. And what they normally say in a lot of these, when you read about the gong, is that you can actually bring the frequency into tune with the various main seven chakras of the body, which was something that, I mean, I understood how it could work, didn't totally believe it before we owned a gong because I hadn't really had a chance to experiment on myself. But now that we own one, it is fair to say that because you can feel the vibration at the different points in the body. So if you play at the bottom of the gong, you get the sort of base chakra vibration, and so you can go all the way up up to the third eye, the crown chakra, and then really the sort of top of the gong. Can it be even a higher frequency that we have? That's how it's described in the training. So, but you can certainly get a very strong connection between the base chakra and the crown chakra, and I get this sensation of the energy flowing when I've been playing the gong for a while. So it can provide some quite deep insights and interesting sensations.
That sounds wonderful. And I can't help but for our listeners that probably have no idea what we're talking about or might not have any idea what we're talking about, what is, I guess for lack of a better term, a gong bath a gong bath? I personally have been lucky enough to experience a singing bowl bath, but... maybe people don't know what that is. So what are these things, singing bowl baths and gong baths, for our listeners that may have never experienced it?
Well, the gong bath is usually one person or several person play this metal instrument, which looks like a big plate, and it comes in different sizes. And the curves at the end of the plate could be different. And they say that they make them according to different frequency. So actually, each time they tune them to a certain frequency, like ours is planetary frequency tuned. And the theory is when you play, you actually produce certain sound frequencies which work on your body to help with certain conditions. And same with singing bowls. But with singing bowls, as far as I know, they're usually mostly attuned to chakras, but they can also be attuned to certain frequencies as well. And the idea is that you would use mallets on both the gong. For the gong, there will be different size mallets. And also for the singing bowls, you would use smaller mallets and you would play it like you would play any other instrument, producing different sounds in different variations. Creating harmonies to help the body release stress and tension.
And so the participant, what you just a participant would just like lay in the room or sit in the room, and this is done for a specific amount of time?
Usually it's very specific to what you want to achieve, because if you are meditating while you are playing the gong, which actually it is an exercise in some yoga traditions like Kundalini yoga, you would most likely be sitting in a in the meditation pose. But if it is just for relaxation purposes, you are most likely to lay down on the mat, and that's what we are doing. We are making people lay down on the mat in front of the gong and all around the gong in some settings. And they cover themselves with blankets and they just lay down and relax for 45 minutes to an hour while we play the gong. And usually people go into very deep relaxation or even sleep. And our gong instructor, it's funny, he said if the person... if even one person doesn't stop to start to snore when you just start playing, probably you're not doing it quite right.
I love it. I'm relaxing just visualizing it in my head. I just love the idea of it. And again, I love to feel the music move through me and to have something like that vibrating through your body. I can only imagine that it affects your bones, your blood, all the chemicals in your body, and how, you know, they interact with one another.
Yeah, well, that's a magnificent experience if you actually can stay awake throughout it, because usually if it's good, you would want to go to sleep and really not think about it. But maybe if you try to meditate during it, I actually experienced quite interesting things, because I could actually feel in my body the effects of the gong. I could feel where the sound was going and what it was doing to my body, to actually the organs and the tissues, and it is a magnificent experience. It's all holistic. It works on emotions, on your body, and I think on the spiritual level as well.
Wow. And I mean, I'm getting very creative as I'm thinking about this, how we could like layer it with other modalities of healing, you know, like massage or Reiki, or just having that whole experience while having multiple types of treatments.
Yeah, that's the idea, actually.
That'd be great. Fantastic. Gary, from a historical point of view, have you seen or have you researched or heard of any cultures that use sound in this way? And can you tell us a little bit about maybe what you've picked up in your travels and studies?
Well, in terms of the gong, so the roots of the gong and sound used in a sort of therapeutic setting goes to northern India and the Tibetan area. I mean, it gets a bit cloudy. There's various different reports that I've read when I've been trying to trace the lineage. But about, I guess the best I can say is that it's recognized that the gong was used as far back as perhaps 1000 or 2000 BC, which is really where the records, there just isn't anything firmer back in time. Right. So just because there aren't reports, it doesn't mean it wasn't used in the same way that you can't really take yoga and the sort of meditation traditions back further than that in a solid recorded setting. But it certainly was in that area at the time that records started. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lots of all around the world, including North America, of course, with the drum, the Native Americans, how they were using sound. These Aboriginal and the peoples of the various continents have had some uses in different settings for sound. I guess the argument comes in from a scientific perspective, whether there's this tangible effect or if it's just kind of in your head that there's something deeper going on. Well, that's why we're now running these events, because it wasn't practical to take everybody inside the Great Pyramid. A lot of people can't get to Egypt, can't afford it, and now with the politics, it's not as easy either. But the gong is the closest approximation, which I've said in previous interviews. And now that we own a gong I believe it even more strongly. The closest I've found outside of the Great Pyramid to this kind of consciousness altering effect. So now people can come and see us at local community centres. And what we're really trying to do with this new venture, we've called it Alchemy of Sound. So it's this sort of transformational sound, but to take it to a wider audience, because it is something that we believe can be palatable, not just to people that are kind of open-minded in a spiritual way, but just the average person that's having problems with stress.
Yeah.
So that's really where we're trying to go now, open this up to a wider audience, because when you do start to release some of this stress and tension that's built up over the years, you do get a bigger perspective. You can see further, and then hopefully people will have a more holistic approach to everything that they do in their lives. So that's really one of our goals at the moment, including going to the local business groups that we'll be speaking at next month. We've been asked to give a talk, and working with government bodies is the kind of next step, really, in the community to take this to a bigger platform.
Well, that sounds absolutely wonderful. And again, I keep thinking of these different ways that we could utilize this as I'm listening to you speak about presenting it in different ways and different platforms. And you're starting the, I guess your launch event is what, on April 30th?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Okay, wonderful. And where is that at? So if anybody's nearby, they can come check that out.
It's Walton-on-Thames, Surrey, UK.
And Surrey, okay, wonderful. Okay.
So southwest London. We're 30 minutes by train from the centre of London. So, it's quite easy to get to.
Oh, okay, wonderful. And I'm sure London could use some sound healing.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, I mean, the centre of London, there are a few things like this going on, but where we are based now, there's nothing happening at all. Okay. And that was something that we had in the back of our minds when we moved to this area. So really, we're trying to fill in a big gap and take it to a wider audience and more of a community feel, and get like-minded people together, because we know how powerful that can be.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. We just had the gentleman that did, oh, geez, what was it? I'm trying to think of the talk that he did. But his name is Wei Sang. Do you know who he is?
No.
He's the one that did the talk on the mind as, I want to say, fractal, the fractal mind theory.
Uh-huh.
And he's working in a little community out in the center of London, I believe he said. And they're doing this type of work, you know, altered states of consciousness and whatnot. And how interesting it would be to get you guys to work together.
Mm. Thank you for this information.
Oh, yes. I'll send you the link to his stuff. He's very interesting. He travels all over the world speaking about it, about the fractal mind theory.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Look it up.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, we're about to go on a break, but when we come back, I'd like to talk to you a bit more about your travels and your connecting with nature, these ancient forests, and perhaps maybe what you've learned from that. In the meantime, can you give us a website where everybody can take a look and find your work?
Yeah, infinite-connections.co.uk has our tours and sound therapy events linked up on the homepage.
Great. Very good. Well, we'll be right back after this break.
Revolution Radio.
Tune in to
Tuesdays at 12 noon Eastern on Studio A to hear Tammy Adams share her knowledge of an unknown realm on Talking with Your Angels. Join Tammy as she uncovers hidden secrets about the spiritual world of angels, ghosts, and other entities that have been with us longer than we know. Tammy is a psychic, a teacher, spiritual coach, a leader in her field, and will be sharing her information and stories with you. So join us on Tuesdays at noon on Studio A. With Tammy's guidance, you'll find out who has been watching over you from the other side, and soon you will be talking with your angels.
You need some more speed records in this day and age. You need coverage.
Coverage? Oh, you mean them little root weevils that crawl around popping off cameras in your face?
Those root weevils write history.
Many of you know that quote by Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth. Well, you can, and Event Horizons will give you those truths. So when you're mad as hell and not going to take it anymore from that memorable scene in Network, you'll know just what to do. We will draw you in and become your news addiction at Event Horizons. Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time at freedomslips.com at Revolution Radio. Our world team members are Dennis Fecho, John Ilias, David Dunger, Hila Cass, MD, Melanie Richton, Jim Mars, Paula Harris, John Trallo, Maria Payan, Christopher Husser, DODDS, Jonathan Orchard, and me, your anchor, Dr. Robin Falco.
If you decide not to volunteer, it will not be held against you in any way.
Sounds dangerous.
It is.
Very dangerous.
Count me in.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps.
Revolution. Revolution. Radio. Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat masses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio. Where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
And now, back to your host, Bernard Alvarez.
And welcome back to the Just Bernard Show here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We are speaking with Gary Evans and Olga Terbanina about holistic sound therapy, but also about healing energy and healing modalities. And with that, we were talking a little bit about nature in the beginning of the show. And one of the greatest crises I feel that's happening on the planet is the idea that so many, for lack of a better term, greedy corporations are chopping down all of these ancient forests and using it for profit, whether it be to create paper or to create land for grazing and, you know, creating, you know, for McDonald's and Cargill and all these other major corporations without even realizing the power that is within these, not only in the herbs, the trees, and any type of healing medicines that could be found, but just the energy itself. And Gary and Olga, you were lucky enough recently to go to some of these ancient forests, and I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about where you went and why the energy there was so powerful for you.
Yes, certainly. Well, this is one of our favourite areas of research at the moment because it gets us out into the landscape. To give your listeners a bit of a background, there is a subject widely recognized in Japan called Shinrin Yuko, and that is literally translates as forest bathing. And I believe that at the time of this interview, there's 40 forests dedicated across Japan to this forest bathing, which is basically being used for stress relief and other healing abilities that these forests are recognized to have over there. And this is now, there are some organizations across the US and probably the rest of the world that are springing up with this same working ethos. And so what they're saying is, particularly if you go into a forest setting in the spring or summer, that in the air, there are these various, it's like aromatherapy, there's essential oils and things that we breathe in, and they have a therapeutic basis that really is noticeable. Energetically, Olga and I, when we go into some of these spaces, you just slowly start feeling more and more relaxed and kind of open, happier, and yeah, stronger. And that was what we investigated in the south of France last year, and it really became noticeable. We were comparing the kind of feelings you have from being on the beach for an hour, and how does that compare to being in a forest and in these kind of mountainous and river environments. And we decided that any time we were given the opportunity, we would go to the forest, the mountains and the rivers, because there just seemed to be a much stronger, noticeable effect from being in the forests. And I think the important point that's come to light is that there is a big difference between ancient woodland forests that haven't been interfered with by man and replanted forests. And a book I was recently reading called The Intelligence of Nature quoted a shaman. And the shaman was basically saying something to the effect of, nature is all connected. When you go into one of these ancient forests, it's like there's this kind of unseen communication system connecting everything. And this is somehow, we kind of tune into this in the, I guess, through the unconscious. But if you rip that up, take away all of the kind of ancestral trees and then replant them all, you've basically just smashed up the system that evolved there probably over millions of years, and you've reset it. So it's going to take a long time for this sort of, he called it the spirit of the animals and the spirit of the trees, which I thought was a nice way of putting it. But if man interferes too much with the natural environment, there is something that we can't measure yet that is lost. And that is why these places need to be preserved as utmost importance.
I couldn't agree with you more, Gary. And as I'm listening to you speak, not only am I agreeing with you, I can myself see the comparison of, you know, growing up on Miami Beach versus being here in the Appalachian Mountains, and the energy of these old, literally millions of years old mountains that have been worn down to small hills practically. There's a big difference in the energy, and you're right to have the streams and the old landscape. And don't get me wrong, I love the beach. I love how I feel on the beach. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the negative ions of the ocean and whatnot. And, yes, it is very therapeutic, but there is something to be said for hiking, you know, through the Appalachian Trail versus laying on Miami Beach, you know.
Yeah. Well, the beach is preferable to sitting in a city, but if we were just trying to find what we felt helped us the most. So that was our conclusion, really, just how we felt after being in a different environment.
And Olga, what did you feel as far as like energetically? Give me some examples of, you know, how is your mind, your spirit, and your connection with everything? Because to me, that's what it's all about, is expanding our consciousness and our connection.
Well, you know, all the time I thought I was a city girl because I was raised in a city. I spent my whole life in a city. And for me, trees and forests were a recreational thing where you go to probably once a week with your family just to, because it's nice and it's good fresh air. But I think recently when I actually started working with energy, I actually started understanding more about the nature of these places and actually what Gary was talking about, feeling the spirit of the place. Because even when we were in the south of France, Nebius Labyrinth, the place is called, and it looks completely like the scene from The Lord of Rings. I think they show the film there. But the thing about this forest is that when you go in there, you start just feeling a bit different, because if you are not very attuned to such places, you just start feeling something is different from even the field that you just walked past. You know that it's completely different place. And then you sit there, and we usually do the mindfulness work. We ground ourselves and we just feel and experience the places where we are at. And it just felt like nothing I ever felt before, because I think at that point I could actually connect with the spirit of all the plants, all the animals, and all the trees, not in a superficial way with my mind, because I was doing it all the time with my mind, trying to do that. But I was actually, I was feeling part of the system, the actual member of the system. And I think that it just, all the noises, they have a different quality when you are at that place. They are not really even noises, they're just vibrations. And they bring you so much joy, even like the singing of the bird. There is so much joy in it, but when you are at that place, there is immense joy just because it's there. And I think this place, I actually, after 30 minutes spending with there, unconsciously, I started talking to plants, just going around and speaking. And Gary told me that I was doing there, I was not even aware. And I think at these places, you can really come as close to nature as possible. And nature, I believe, is actually the representation of yourself. That's why we feel so wonderful in these beautiful, rich places with rich fauna and flora. Because if it's rich from outside, the nature is healthy and happy. We're actually healthy and happy inside.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. It feels to me, and as someone who was a city boy, and I was literally afraid of nature growing up. I was like, oh, a bug, you know, run away from bugs and run away from mud and afraid to get dirty and, you know, very disconnected. And, you know, as I feel as we evolve on our spiritual path and we become more connected, that these natural places not only are helpful, but they remind us of our connection to the everything, to the all, and our place. And I love what you said. We're a part of the system. We're not just observing it anymore. We become a part of that connection, and we see ourselves in that natural web of life.
Yeah. No, it's definitely. I like how you say about being scared of dirt and things. I think it's definitely true. It's you can see how connected you are and how much you have progressed on your spiritual path by actually looking at how you look at nature and these things, dirt, bugs, worms, and all other creatures.
Right. And they're a part of the everything. It's life. It is literally life living in front of you, whereas, you know, being in a big city or never connecting with nature, everything around you is dead.
Yeah.
And when you're in nature, it's you're feeling life force energy at its most purest, I would say.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
And so, Gary, you guys traveled around quite a bit in the south of France, and you went to a fairly, I guess, known place for those of us that are fans of Dan Brown, the René Le Château. What is so special about this place, and what's the history of it?
Yeah, well, it had been on my radar for a while. In fact, I read books about this area in the southwest of France over 20 years ago, and there was various things that were said about it. The Cathars, which was a kind of mystical offshoot of Christianity, which was eventually burnt out of existence, literally had crusades against them. The Templars were there, but then you can see before that the Romans were there, the Greeks were there, and there's these kind of layers of time. The more I looked at the area, we find human remains going back 30,000 years. There's cave art just across the border in Spain, 40,000 years old, and even sort of humanoid remains dating back hundreds of thousands of years. So there's something that was pulling lots of different groups of people through time to this one spot, which always makes it interesting for me, because there's generally a good reason for that. And including the Neanderthals were also. So you could argue that a lot of things that have happened during the course of human history have been influenced by this area. And Dan Brown and other writers have really made it about gold or something physical that we can of monetary value. But for those of us on the spiritual path, there is something greater than monetary value, and that is something to us of a spiritual value, a lesson that perhaps transforms us or puts us forwards on our path to greater things. And that was really our conclusion on this area, that the energy, the feeling that you have there, the places like this Nebius Labyrinth, speak to you on this deeper level. We came away feeling completely refreshed, inspired. There was a new term that we kind of came up with, which was these natural temples, because I've been obviously spending time a lot of these ancient temples and really appreciate churches and temple space, somewhere quiet to contemplate. But this particular landscape seemed to have formed a natural temple in the middle of this Nebius Labyrinth, because the limestone has been worn away and different layers are softer and harder, and actually formed a kind of rectangular shape that the trees then covered up. So it was quite magnificent there, something truly special that people were worth visiting. So in our opinion, the reason that these various religious groups and other peoples have gone to this area is for the highest, you could say, gold of all, the spiritual truths. And we certainly feel like we've found a few clues for our paths, and no doubt that can be the same for others. That's why we hope to take some people on a tour there and share what we found.
I love that point, and you know, Dan Brown's focus was I guess on the Grail. They were talking about the Holy Grail, and the and I love the way you transcend that into acknowledging that perhaps it's not a object or material object, but the Grail or the gold is within us, and it sounds more alchemical or more of a spiritual transformation process that we're seeking versus, you know, the riches of heaven, so to speak.
Well, you could read something that says the treasure is at Rennes Le Chateau. So everyone goes rushing to Rennes Le Chateau looking for these paintings with things, because there could be gold and things in that area. But when you're actually at Rennes Le Chateau, you're surrounded by this treasure, and the treasure is this nature, this environment that man hasn't spoiled, and where you can gain these deep epiphanies or spiritual insights if you've got the eyes to see that you're surrounded by this treasure all around you.
Ah, that's a very good point. And actually, thank you for bringing that up. The idea of something that instigates or is a catalyst for spiritual epiphany is something that so many people are searching for nowadays, especially those of us, quote unquote, on the awakening path. A lot of people have had these spontaneous epiphanies, you know, whether in their home or, you know, in their sleep or at work or whatnot. And so many, that seems to be one of the things that people are searching for. They want that next epiphany. And the idea that, you know, places like Rennes Le Chateau or even some of these ancient structures that we've talked about in the past, or even sound, as we talked about earlier in the show, there are so many catalysts that can create the opportunity for these spontaneous epiphanies. And I'm very grateful that that you're sharing some of these ideas with us. I think it's great that, you know, it's not, we don't have to be waiting. We can literally go out and experience this by visiting these types of places and preserving them and preserving them.
Yeah. Well, I normally, I mean, spiritual travel, these powerful places around the planet, I've never been disappointed from visiting any of them. Because they say travel broadens the mind, and sometimes we just need to get out of our comfort zone. Perhaps if we're looking for that next epiphany and it's not happening where we are, by going outside or going traveling to some of these powerful places, we can kind of get past that block that we've got at the moment. So really, Olga and I are trying to visit as many of these different places as possible to see how they help us and if we think they're worth sharing with others. So, yeah, we always recommend people, if you felt called to go somewhere, whether it's Peru, Egypt, India, then there's probably something deeper lurking behind this kind of intuition that it would be good to go to these places.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys have actually are creating and offering a public tour of some of these places. Can you tell us a little bit about your upcoming tour? I guess it's the one in France of what we were just talking about.
Yes. Yeah, well, the first one that we're putting together is going to be September this year, so running from the 2nd to the 12th. So it's a 10-day itinerary, and we've tried to do something a little bit different. So it's a kind of combination between the sort of classical tours I was doing, where you're visiting a variety of these different ancient sites, but also combining it with a kind of meditation or sort of relaxing yoga retreat. So each day we start with different, you could say, spiritual modalities, including the sound therapy, with the intention of moving people into that quiet place in the heart, getting them out of their head, so that when we go to some of these powerful locations, they can really experience it rather than just a kind of intellectual tour and discussions about the various theories, but try and take them to that place where they do get the epiphanies, and that's really the best way that we can think of sharing them.
That's a really good point, and we've been sitting here talking about going to these wonderful places and connecting with natural energy, and I'm wondering, Gary or Olga, what would you suggest? Let's say, you know, here a family is getting ready to go on a picnic in a forest somewhere. What would be some tips you could offer the regular person going to, I don't know, a state park or national park, of opening up to these energies? What are some tips that we can use in our day-to-day lives to connect with these types of energies?
Oh, that's actually a very good question, because I think many people, it could actually help many people. And I think the first thing would be silence. Because as soon as we actually silence ourselves, and I don't mean mentally, I mean literally, no talking, it can actually slow down the pace in your mind and open your eyes to what's actually happening around you. Because so often in the age of technology, we try to go into our phones or probably just chats about things. And I would recommend just not taking your phones. And actually, I know that it might be time for you to reunite, but I'm sure you will be able to talk after the picnic, but you would benefit the most if you actually try to be as silent as possible during that bathing process and bathing in the energies of the place. And another thing would be listen. Listen and look, because I actually think on my spiritual path, I learned the most from just observing. I was always a very observant child, and I would always listen to things and observe and without any talking. And I still believe that that's one of the most powerful tools that I have at the moment, just looking and hearing things. And especially if you are in nature, there are so many things to actually learn just by listening and by looking at things. So many things about plants, animals, and you just, after some time, you start feeling the pace of life. and you understand how in tune you are, or how maybe not in tune you have become due to your stresses or some circumstances in your life. And you could actually get there by these simple methods. You don't actually need to do much more than that, I would say. And grounding, maybe also just taking your shoes off and socks off and just sitting, grounding yourself into the earth. You don't actually have to do any meditation. Just sit, be quiet, and feel things.
Yes, yes. And thank you for that. It's about, I guess it's about getting our mind out of the way and just letting ourselves experience it and allowing, giving the energy the opportunity to connect with us.
Yeah.
Because it's always there. It's just a matter of us giving it permission to sense it, giving ourselves permission to sense.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Absolutely wonderful. Well, we are out of time. I can't believe how quickly this time has gone by. And as usual, it's always such a great pleasure to have both of you on the show. And I want to thank you so much for joining us this week. Again, everyone, the website is infinite-connections.co.uk if you'd like to get more information. And of course, medium Tracy Lockwood will be guest hosting next week here on the Just Bernard Show. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Olga.
Thanks very much,
Bernard. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Syrian diplomat reported today that their population is evolving rapidly and advancing into a fifth-dimensional consciousness. They are seeking peace with all cosmic cultures, which may mean that the Earth will be asked to join the prestigious Galactic Federation of Light Alliances. Please join Debbie West and Michael Hathaway on Lost Knowledge, Saturdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Studio A, for the latest breaking news on the Star Visitor's peaceful contact and the ongoing project of cleansing the Earth.
Who are you?
I am the Architect. I created the Matrix. I've been waiting for you.
Why am I here?
You are the eventuality of an anomaly which, despite my sincerest efforts, I have been unable to eliminate from what is otherwise a harmony of mathematical precision, which has led you inexorably here.
You haven't answered my question.
The Matrix is older than you know. As you are undoubtedly gathering, the anomaly is systemic, creating fluctuations in even the most simplistic equation.
Choice. Problem is choice.
Right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be here Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for Private Eye Matrix Revealed with Monique Lassonde.
Presented by Revolution Radio, broadcasting live from the Roanoke Valley of southwestern Virginia. Join us and see what life looks like from a medium's perspective with Reverend Tracy Lockwood, the medium's medium. We'll explore the tools of psychic development, hear stories and experiences from the other side, and learn to listen to our natural intuition. Now, our host, Reverend Tracy Lockwood.
Hello!